The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray's engineering and producing the show for us, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, September 25th. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. Of course, we have our worldwide live listening at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com, which is also the place for all of our programs. We've got them conveniently archived for you, available 24/7 for your podcast. Lots to talk about during the hour, as usual. Let's welcome now to the program Randy Seraglio, the Southwest Conservation Director for the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity. Aren't you glad, Randy, you don't get paid for talking on the radio? I should know better.
Well, Bill, at least you didn't say conservative.
There you go. Yes. All right. Now, lots to talk about. Let's begin with Rosemont. 11 years since this proposed Rosemont mine, the massive open pit copper operation in the Santa Rita Mountains, southeast of Tucson, that was first proposed. Where are we right now in the process, Randy?
Well, we're in court. This is where the rubber is going to hit the road. There have been a number of lawsuits filed against the Fish and Wildlife Service's biological opinion that Rosemont is not going to harm endangered species, which is patently false, and against the Forest Service's illegal approval of a permit for the Rosemont mine, which ignored many of the harms that it will do to our water supply and our air quality and our wildlife and our beautiful mountain ranges. And also the tribes have filed a suit because there are sacred places there and there are traditional cultural properties there that are extremely important to them. So the Tohono O'odham and the Pascua-Yankee and the Hopi tribe have filed a lawsuit. So all of those suits have been consolidated into one action. And we're going to have a great big argument about whether or not this is good for our community.
So that's one track, the legal track. But then we're still waiting, as kind of like for the other shoe to drop, from the all-important Army Corps of Engineers permit.
Yeah, the largest remaining permit that Rosemont needs is the Clean Water Act permit, which is under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And it's looking like there may be a decision on that pretty soon. And, of course, that also will be litigated either way, I'm sure, if it's approved or denied. One side or the other will appeal that decision as well.
With the approval, could HUD Bay, the owner of the Rosemont site, could they break ground with approval?
There's a couple other more minor steps that they need to take before that regarding bonding and getting the final mine plan of operations approved. But yeah, it does grease the skids. And then, of course, we would seek an injunction to prevent that damage from occurring until these issues are worked out in court.
How interested is HUD Bay, the Toronto, Ontario, Canada-based minerals company? How interested are they in this site?
They're extremely interested based on the fact that they spent $500 million to buy this thing.
From Augusta, Augusta.
From the previous company that owned it. Whether or not they're ready to mine it anytime soon is less important than getting the permits. Because once they get the permits, it gives them much greater ability to leverage financing and keep the money flowing, and that's really all they care about.
And they could sit on permits for years.
They could.
Was there talk of expanding their footprint up there?
Yeah, well, they advertise it to their investors that there are other properties that they hold on the west side of the Santa Ritas, fully visible from Green Valley. In public, they always claim that wasn't going to happen. But if you look at their investor materials, they made it very clear that the opportunity for expansion is definitely there. and that they're definitely interested in doing that in the future.
I want to talk about another topic, of course, the wildfires that the past two summers have just been terrible in North America, going all the way up to British Columbia, fires that have really hurt California, almost unprecedented. The Interior Secretary, Mr. Zanke, is complaining that, quote, environmental terrorist groups, unquote, are in part responsible for the legal efforts that had blocked logging of live and dead trees. Thus, he is justifying what is happening with the fires.
Well, if your listeners could see me now, they'd see my eyes rolling. Mr. Zinke and many members of the Trump administration have engaged in all sorts of baseless propaganda attacks against the environmental movement. Unfortunately for Mr. Zinke, science proves exactly the opposite. Areas that are logged and more highly managed actually tend to burn more severely, and areas that are protected tend to burn less severely. The most recent scientific research proves that. And part of the reason for that is because large old-growth trees are very difficult to burn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when forests get disrupted and their natural ecological functions are compromised by human activities is when they tend to break down. Fire has always been a part of our forest ecology, and it always will be. In fact, it's a healthy thing. It burns away, dead fuels and things like that, and it benefits many, many species. The problem now is these fires are taking place in a context where climate change has radically altered the weather. These huge, severe fires are directly related to incredible weather anomalies. And you use the word unprecedented, and that's exactly correct. That's the word that we need to use. It is way hotter and drier than it's been. And in conditions like that, obviously fires are going to burn much hotter. And, of course, another big factor is millions of people have built their homes in the path of these fires.
That's
the fires
true.
Were always there. The homes were not always
right.
there. So if we want to address wildfires, we need to protect our forests because they're carbon sinks. They will help us combat climate change. And we need to educate people about protecting their own homes. If you're going to build a home in a fire-prone area, then you have responsibility to protect your home from the fire.
And it used to be that you'd get a great snowpack and a very wet winter. It was going to be protection long into the fire season. But because of these extreme temperatures, things dry out in a hurry, and bingo, you've got a big fire.
That's exactly right. And the conditions when the fires occur, too, are also a big factor. You see this year California's wildfire season started with much greater intensity, much earlier than it really has in memory. So, these conditions are unprecedented, and we have to wake up and start dealing with them. But the best ways to deal with them are to protect the forests and protect the old growth trees.
How about this farm bill? This is really important. It's kind of under the radar, but this could be a big problem if this passes.
The Farm Bill is a disaster. It's an extinction bill. It reflects the abject corruption of the U.S. Congress. Pesticide industry donating $43 million in this congressional session alone to get what they want, which is increased profits and less review of the environmental damage that their products make to our forests, to our wildlife, and to people. The pesticide industry has pretty much bought the House Agriculture Committee. And, of course, the timber industry is right there with them. They want to add these riders to the Farm Bill and throw out protections for forests just so they can cut more trees and make more money. I mean, that's what it boils down to in our system. And, again, this flies in the face of the best scientific research we have.
The current Farm Bill expires at the end of September.
Yeah, the Farm Bill is an odd duck. There are some big ticket items that are permanently authorized, and they will continue, like the food stamp program and the crop subsidies and things like that. But there's a lot of smaller things, conservation programs and trade things like that, that are in trouble if it expires on September 30th. So It doesn't appear that there's as much urgency as there usually would be to beat that deadline. A lot of people are pointing to this and saying, well, we can work this out after the midterm elections.
We'll see. And a lot going on the environmental front. And probably from your point of view, it's been a pretty bleak picture.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Trump administration is a disaster. They've made it very clear that they are going to prioritize corporate profits over public health, public safety, and the health of our environment and our clean water and clean air. And, you know, there's just no reason to do that.
Randy Seraglio, always a pleasure. Randy is the Southwest Conservation Director for the Center for Biological Diversity. Good to see you, Randy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
This portion of our program presented by my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. If you're hungry and ready for lunch and you're up in that area right now, stop by. Have a sandwich. The bread that sandwich will be served on, terrific. Just came out of the oven a couple of hours ago, and a wide variety of breads to choose from. Go to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Also, there's a link to Mona's at buckmastershow.com and a link to all of our great sponsors on the program. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour for a visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Also, we talk with Tucson Councilman Paul Cunningham on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And what say we consult right now with Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I am well today, despite the market.
Yeah, what goes up must come down, I guess. Last week we had a very good week, and this week, the first two days,
not so much.
Over 200 down, probably, for the 2 days.
2 days, right.
Is China playing into this at all?
Well, the tariffs that kicked in on Monday are playing into this, and uncertainty about where we go from here. You know, the question really, Bill, is what's the end game? You can slap tariffs on Chinese goods, and they'll slap some tariffs back on our goods, and then we're in an all-out trade war, and I guess that's really where we are today. The Chinese are very resentful of feeling bullied, and that's what they've said, and they're not going to negotiate under these conditions. By the way, the Prime Minister of Canada said something very similar this morning at the United Nations, basically saying, and I'm not going to be bullied into making a deal with you guys under these conditions. And so there's some pushback. There's some pushback from the countries in the world with whom we are so intimately entangled from a trade and economic perspective that to break that apart, while I think our economy could survive those efforts, that if we try to do it without understanding where it's all headed, what's the end game, then it's kind of all roads will, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there or no road will take you there. And that's the problem. Even the people in the Trump orbit who think that these tariffs against the Chinese are a way to reset the balance between not just the balance of trade, but some of the, you know, beyond dispute, the things that China has been doing to really unfairly advantage themselves, especially in terms of intellectual property. The people who agree with this as a tactic are very concerned that we really don't know what the end game is. For instance, we now have so many of the products that we use and the assembled products have Chinese components in them that the idea of pulling out of China, of disassembling the investment that we have in China and moving it elsewhere seems almost impossible, unless you have a plan to support that kind of movement elsewhere in the world, where some of the price advantages of, for instance, low labor costs would apply equally. A perfect example there would be Mexico and Central America and maybe South America. If we had a plan to actually implement and help our companies move some of their supply chains and some of the investment that they currently have in China to some of these other places, then creating this dislocation in world trade by isolating China out of it would make a little bit of sense. Now, I don't agree with that necessarily, but it is a rational way to think about how you would set some alternatives if you are going to, in fact, withdraw and try to isolate China in the world.
Yeah. If you're not going to use Chinese parts, what are you going to use?
Well, you've got to make them somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't make them all here. And if you do, then what you've done is you've taken our high-cost manufacturing basis, imposed it on those products, and made those products not only more expensive for U.S. consumers, but more expensive for the export of those products to other countries, which then gets you into this kind of snowballing effect of trade imbalance. It just makes the problem worse.
Where does this go? Where are we going with this?
Well, that's exactly the right question, Bill. I don't think the Trump administration knows. It's a possibility that Navarro and some of the other people around Trump have some ideas, but they're not telling us. They're not really telling the American manufacturers, American industry, American farmers where this is going. They're simply saying, trust us, this is the medicine that is going to cure the disease, without really specifying in any sound economic terms what the disease really is and what the afterlife might be. And so there's some real problems with this plan because the plan is tactical and not strategic. And that's why I worry. Can the U.S. economy, especially as strong as it is today, survive the extra tax burden, and that's what it is, a tax burden, that these tariffs, 10%, potentially up to 30%, on $200 billion worth of imports, what that will do to the U.S. economy, you bet. At this point in time, that's kind of a rounding error in our economy. But that is only the short-term question. The longer-term question is, if we are really trying to isolate the Chinese economy and, in fact, create a new world order that has China much and it's 1.2 billion people way down on the scale of importance.
This diminished role of China. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And by the way, China isn't a kind of an Egyptian pyramid sitting there immobile. They will react. When you push, they will push back. When you close your markets to them or make your markets less accessible to them, they will find other markets, and they can be awfully competitive because, after all, their economy and their government objectives are so vastly intertwined with each other that their economy reflects the will of the government. And it's a very rich country. It, you know, you can argue about how you measure it. It's either tied with us in terms of the size of the economy, or it's going to be tied with us in a couple of years, again, depending upon how you make allowances for the power of purchasing. But in any case, they can't be ignored. Now, you can try to set them off to the side and either hope they'll go away or hope they'll go to places we don't care about for doing trade, or you can do what I think is the smarter thing and build alliances that will demonstrate a new world order that gets us all kind of prospering. If you take a look at, for instance, the number of people in poverty, the percentage of the world that's been in poverty, and the changes in that number over the past 20 or 30 years, you can see how successful the integrated world order has been. Now, there's problems with it, and certainly there's winners and losers in this country. But as a general strategy for moving the world ahead in a way that is a win-win for everybody instead of a zero-sum game, which is the way the, you know, Trumpists kind of play it, that's something you can think through. But if you start to think, well, we're going to take China and put it there, and India and put it there, and the emerging nations of South America and Africa and put them there, and be a fortress unto ourselves, do we have the wherewithal to do that? Well, we might for a while, but the rest of the world is going to continue that integration, Bill. And at some point, we will not only feel isolated in the way that we want it to be, but in ways that disadvantage us tremendously. And that's what I worry about.
And then Canada, this could be a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, the Canadians, to a certain extent, are so dependent
upon
trade with us.
Enough, basically.
Yeah. But even the Canadians are looking and saying, wait a second, we're not necessarily going to back down this way. And you take a look at what's happening in the UK and with Brexit, and I have long said that Brexit isn't going to happen the way they think it's going to happen. And now what we're seeing is that the European Union has essentially turned around to the UK and said, no, you can't have it both ways. You can't leave and have all the benefits. In fact, I believe the Prime Minister, May, left the last meeting feeling like she was disrespected. And so all of a sudden, one of the great economic powers in the world, and England and the UK is one of those economic powers, is feeling more and more isolated, and they don't know what to do about it. And so this tendency to kind of build walls sounds to me a lot like where we were in 1910, 1912, 1913, in the lead up to World War I, where countries thought that isolationism and bilateral deals would be the way to financial economic success, and we saw where that went. So I worry on a lot of, you know, on a lot of fronts about not having thought through where we're going and just kind of going there, and that's what worries me.
All right, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Thank you very much, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill.
All righty.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our fine sponsor, Green Things, is now home to Zocalo. Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. So now you can get all of your green things for the garden like I did. Went over there Saturday, got some beautiful geraniums, dozen or so, which are doing very well. But Zocalo, They've got really a Zocalo village now over at Green Things. Their pre-grand opening event is going on until November the 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Finish your visit in the gallery and stay for a complimentary wine bar. All of this going on at Green Things, 3384 East River Road, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. In our continuing look at the upcoming general election and trying to introduce our listeners to the candidates in some of the key local races today, we're concentrating on the state legislative race in District 10. Kirsten Engel, a state representative, incumbent, emerged from that four-way primary along with Domingo DeGrazia. They were the two top vote-getters, and they will be facing off against incumbent Republican Todd Clodfelter. And Kirsten is with us in studio. Representative Engel, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me today.
Tell me a little bit about how this race is shaping up. What are some of your impressions?
Well, Bill, I think there's going to be some important issues that we're going to be dealing with in the next legislative session. We finished last year with the Red for Ed movement. Just absolutely incredible to have thousands of teachers converge upon the Capitol, asking quite rightly for decent pay and for more money for our schools. And we haven't resolved that issue. And, you know, the Invest in Ed ballot petitionant initiative will not be on the ballot in November. So we're going to be back talking about education funding again this year and lots of other important issues as well.
And this school voucher thing has a lot of people confused on this proposition on the ballot.
Well, it's a very important measure, and I'm urging voters to vote no on that. What this would do, a no vote would repeal the legislature's expansion of vouchers. And I know this was a big topic of conversation at the gubernatorial debate last night with our Governor Ducey in favor of that expansion and the Democratic challenger David Garcia against it. My concern about vouchers, Bill, is vouchers is that it will take money out of our public schools, and we need that money to be in our public schools. So taxpayer money, I think, needs to be funding our schools and our teachers and not going to all of our students so that they can take that money and, frankly, use it for tuition for private schools.
Will education be a front burner issue again this session?
I think it will be.
Regardless of how the proposition goes, you think it's still going to be a big deal?
I think it is, and I think we have to confront the issue of revenues. So our state has been growing, and yet we have our revenues are frankly just not keeping pace. So, you know, one of my great disappointments about last session is that we didn't address that issue head on. We're not looking at how we can increase our revenues for the things that we all want, such as good schools for our kids.
We really have to at some point look at what is sustainable for this state financially, don't we? Need to take a hard look at it.
I think we do. I think we really need a review of, we've got a complicated tax code. It's riddled with exemptions. We've got a lot of tax credits out there. We need to look at, you know, who should be exempt? Should we have jet fuel be exempt? Should we have the famous 4-inch pipe?
State Senator Steve Farley
yes.
has talked about for so many years.
Yes, and can we really afford to have these corporate tax credits for private schools and a tax credit that's growing every year? So I think we need to do a top-to-bottom review of our tax code. And we need to look at where we are going to get the revenues that we need to really be a top-flight state with a top-flight education program.
Tell our listeners briefly about District 10. What are your geographical boundaries, roughly speaking?
So roughly speaking, on the west end, we're right up against the U of A campus. And our northern boundary there is Speedway, and our southern boundary is 22nd Street. From there, going east, the district kind of spans out goes up to, I guess it's around Craycroft. It really turns north, takes in Tanque Verde. Its eastern edge is Saguaro National Park.
So it's kind of central to east.
It is. It's central to east. Mm-hmm. The southern boundary is right above the Air Force Base.
And for folks that don't know, you do teach law at the University of Arizona.
Yes, I do.
And last year, the last term, your first two-year term, was kind of a learning curve probably for you. What did you think of the whole process coming from academia to the legislature?
Well, I have to say, it's just been the greatest experience to represent voters here in LD 10, to get to know them by canvassing on the weekends. I knock on doors, walk all over our district. Yes, I'm out of the classroom, but, you know, I think academia and the research that's done in higher education, a lot of it is relevant to the issues that we are facing. You know, we've got a top-notch business school. I'm part of an environmental program, the environmental law program, but that's connected with public health issues. And, you know, a lot of these have been on the front pages lately. Air pollution issues, its connection with dementia, clean energy issues, so water issues. So all of these are very important, and I'm really proud of what I might be able to bring to this job.
The proposition dealing with energy and renewable energy, how are you voting on that?
Bill, I'm going to vote for it. Okay. I think that, you know, the incredible sunshine and renewable resources that we have in this state, we really should be a leader on renewable energy. And instead, we're quite frankly a laggard. And part of that is that our Arizona Corporation Commission has just not been the watchdog regulator that we need it to be. And as a result, they're not pushing our utilities, and our utilities are sitting back and not making the investments in clean energy that's good for our economy and good for the earth and good for our health.
It's a little bit intriguing. There's this opt-out clause that the energy companies could pay, I don't know, $10,000 fine or something.
No, actually as low as $100.
Oh, my goodness. How in the world did that get in there?
Well, that was the utilities running scared that that the population might actually pass this. And I think there's a good chance that it will pass because people want clean energy. And so they ran to the legislature and worked with their lobbyists to pass a bill that basically just gives them a slap on the wrist if they violate the ballot restriction. And that just seems to me wrong. If the voters speak and they vote for a ballot proposition, that's the law, and the utilities shouldn't be able to get out of it.
So you feel that the yes vote at least would be a step in making a statement in the right direction, even though the slap on the wrist would be available to them?
Well, that's true. I would hope our utilities would not avail themselves of that kind of cheap escape clause.
Here's $100. I'm walking away. Right?
We don't want lawbreakers for utilities. We want law-abiding utilities.
Yeah. All right. So you've teamed up with Domingo Garcia. He is your running mate.
DeGrazia.
Excuse me. Yes, DeGrazia, of course, from the famous DeGrazia name. Yeah,
That's right. He's the oldest son.
Oldest son of Ted DeGrazia.
Yes, but he went into law. He actually works.
He's an attorney here.
He's
in town.
An attorney representing families and mm-hmm. children before Department of Child Safety. A very strong, intelligent, passionate man about the issues of the day that we're talking about.
And as far as you going against Representative Claude Felter, what would be your bottom line here, the difference between you and Mr. DeGrazia and Mr. Claude Felter?
Well, I think we're willing.
To sum it up.
Well, I think we're willing, you know, to take these issues head on. We're not willing to go along with business as usual here in Arizona, which has been to, you know, sprinkle a few money here and there for our schools and to continue to support special interest exemptions that are contributing to shrinking our budget. My biggest disappointment, Bill, is that Representative Todd Kletzer is not showing up to tonight's clean elections debate.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. DeGrazia and I will be there. So will Senator David Bradley, and so
that?
Will his Republican challenger.
What's the venue?
It'll be at Saguaro High School.
Okay.
I believe that's 545 North Camino Seco,
okay.
And it starts at 6 p.m. tonight.
And the public's invited.
The public is invited, and in fact, you can submit questions online right now,
mm-hmm.
Or you can come to the debate, I hope you do, and submit questions there.
Very good.
And if you can't make it, those debates are recorded and the video will be available.
Very cool. And your website, please?
www.angleforarizona.com.
Representative Engel, thank you very much. I'll let you get back to the U of A, and I appreciate you coming over. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, this would be a great weekend to get away, wouldn't it, over to Silver City? It's only a three-hour drive, and it's a perfect time of year. The warm days, cool nights, very autumnish. Their elevation at 5,000 feet makes just really a perfect setting for just getting away from it all and enjoying some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find a list of great places to stay and many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We will be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops.
craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, where this week's Arts Report is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. We're so proud of what has been going on at Fox. This Thursday, September 27th, the Fox welcomes back acclaimed singer and songwriter Amos Lee. This guy is a very, very powerful, deeply soulful performer. And he's really an expert guitarist as well. So Amos Lee, Thursday at the Fox. Coming up Sunday, September 30th, the whole family will enjoy the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater. Moscow circus veteran Gregory Popovich presenting his unique world-renowned blend of comedy, juggling, and amazing animal antics of his shelter, Rescued Pet Performers. That's very cool. Fox Theater hosting their biggest fall performance lineup to date. To view the full schedule of the upcoming performances and to purchase tickets to see Amos Lee this Thursday at 8 p.m. and Popovich's Comedy Pet Theater. Boy, that's a great show for the whole family. That's this Sunday at 3, the Pet Theater at foxtucson.com for more information. Let's welcome now Visit Tucson's Dan Gibson, who is up on Visit Tucson business up in Scottsdale. How you doing, Mr. Gibson?
I am doing well. Remarkably, the last time I was in Scottsdale and did I did one of the arts reports from the very same parking lot I'm in right now. So, coincidence.
I'm sure that a lot of your colleagues are patting you on the back about the wonderful 36 hours in Tucson piece that appeared in the New York Times. You know, for a city to get that is a very big deal.
It's, the main thing is we really just try to direct the writer to the right places. The place, the establishments and the museums and all the things that are in there, you know, try to think of them as the real stars here. She didn't have to write the story, and when the places she experienced, she really fell in love with. And I think that's some assessment of Tucson as a whole. So we're excited about it for sure.
Yeah, one more.
It'll be in the print edition of this forthcoming Sunday's paper.
Oh, okay. It was not in the print edition this Sunday. Coming up next Sunday, is that correct?
Yeah, weirdly, it's online for about 2 weeks before it hits the print edition.
Weird. Well, it'd be interesting, and one more note about that before we talk about what's going on with the arts, that it'd be interesting, and I know you and your team will be tracking to see what kind of a bump you get from that. I'm sure that's part of the plan, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, it's a great sign, and we send out a newsletter about it this week, and it's one of those things that I think you really will see people coming to town because of it, which is, in the end, what we all want. Right?
Well, a lot of people come to town because of what we're talking about next, and that is what we have to offer in the arts.
Yes, it's festival season. The temperature has dropped, so there are a million festivals to choose from. They're all of them excellent choices. One that's, I think, really exciting to me is the Tucson Humanities Festival. The theme this year is secret. It runs October 4th through 30th, all over the University of Arizona primarily. Just a couple highlights. Go to Humanities Festivals, humanitiesfestival.arizona.edu for the whole schedule. There really is stuff all October. Friday, October 5th at 3 p.m. at the University of Arizona Museum of Art, Surprising Vermeer, a artist in Delft in the world. Professor from the University of British Columbia will be there. Vermeer is one of those people I think a lot of people know his paintings, but there's a lot of backstory to them that people aren't aware of. So this professor is going to sort of put the context of Vermeer's work in what it says about the world, or what the world as it was in that time period in the 17th century reflected back in the paintings. Sounds interesting to me. That one's absolutely free. Just show up.
Oh, that is interesting. And there are only...
Vermeer's great, right?
There are only, I'm going to guess here, there's maybe 25 Vermeers that are on view in museums around the world, and I've been lucky enough to see a handful of them
it always makes a vacation if you can go to a museum to see a Vermeer. But yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. He's certainly one of my favorites from the Dutch golden era, certainly of the 17th century painting. Terrific.
And a wildly different thing, Thursday, October 18th, I have my tickets already. This is one that you will need tickets for, and you can get it on that Humanities Festival website. 7 p.m. at the UMA Student Union North Ballroom. Colson Whitehead, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, he will be discussing his book, The Underground Railroad, which he won the Pulitzer Prize for. Colson Whitehead's really one of my favorite authors. He's wildly innovative, just a little like a luminary of contemporary literature. He'll be speaking. It is absolutely free, but you will need tickets. He'll be doing a book signing afterwards. If you have not read Underground Railroad, you should, but if you haven't, I mean, you could pick it up at the event and you can get it signed. So plenty of stuff to do that whole festival. There's a hip hop demonstration about the history of DJing. There's film, there's all kinds of stuff happening.
And again, to repeat the venue for that, please.
For the Colson Whitehead is the North Ballroom of the U of A Student Union.
And basically for the festival, it's going to be all over the U of A?
Yeah, all over the U of A. I think there's something at the Fox as well, but it's kind of spread out mostly through the university area.
All right. Time for a couple more.
Well, here you go. We'll be discussing this coming up on my appearance hosting the Buckmaster Show on Friday the 12th. Mm-hmm. Film Fest Tucson starts on Thursday, October 11th. Herb Stratford, who is the organizer of that event, will be on the air with me. It's a really great lineup over the course of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All that information is at filmfesttucson.com. There will be things at the Scottish Rite. There will actually be things at the AC Marriott downtown and the Fox Theater. A couple notes here. One, Catherine Hardwick has sort of a long history with Tucson, was a production designer on Tombstone, Tank Girl, and Three Kings, which all filmed down here. She directed the first Twilight movie, the movie 13. She's actually just wrapped an American version of this movie, Miss Bala. She'll be here. She'll be doing a directing masterclass on Saturday, October 13th at 3 p.m. That's free. You don't even need a ticket. That's at the Scottish Rite. That evening, they'll be showing her film Lords of Dogtown. That's at 8 p.m. at the Fox. And really, actually, a lot of fun movie. Sort of fictionalized take on young skateboarding, the beginning of the sort of skateboard culture in Santa Monica, perfecting their craft. Heath Ledger is in it, actually, the late Heath Ledger. And it's a fun movie, and Catherine Hardwick will be there to discuss it. That one is also free. There's so much free things part of the Film Fest Tucson.
And, of course, Tucson Meet Yourself is coming up.
Yes. I keep calling it, keep pitching it as Tucson's one greatest food, one weekend food court. Yeah, it's the best time to be downtown. I'm having an office downtown Friday Tucson Meet Yourself is my favorite lunch day of the year. And I have really probably ranked my lunch days because I'm strange, but I get, the Danish potato pancakes and Laush and beef sticks. Oh my gosh, my favorite. It's the best day.
Tucson Eat Yourself, as it has been referred to in the past. So
100%
much
accurate. Yep. It has moved a little bit this year, still in the heart of downtown, but not in the Presidio Plaza, so just look for it a little bit further east. I don't know the exact map, but don't head straight to the Presidio looking for it this year, but it'll be all around downtown.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned coming up on Friday, October the 12th, you'll be sitting in my chair. I'm turning the whole thing over to you, basically, to take a deep dive into the film industry. Will you have two guests with you?
Yes, Herb Stratford, who will be previewing Film Fest Tucson and also talking about Tucson Film Fest culture, and Shelley Hall, from the director of the Tucson Film Office, my coworker, but she'll be discussing the state of Tucson film, Arizona film. Everyone asks, when will the incentives be coming back? Direction on where things are going from there. And she's got a lot of exciting news. Every time I talk to Shelley, she's got something up her sleeve. But
Very good.
And then the Friday roundtable, I'll be the ringmaster.
There you go. Well, that's going to be fun. And I know the show will be in good hands. Thank you so much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
This week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Benice Fuego. The Spirit of Spain on October the 2nd, referred to as the Prince of Spanish Guitar. That's going to be a terrific show. Friday, October 5th, the Fox welcomes multi-instrumentalist, producer, and lyricist Tom Bailey. The Thompson Twins, Tom Bailey, backed by his Spot On band, performing everyone's favorite 80s Thompson Twins hits, performing them for the first time in 27 years. Very cool. So it's a busy October at the Fox. To view the full schedule and to purchase tickets to see Amos Lee on September 27th, Popovich Comedy Pet Theater, September the 30th, Benice Fuego, October 2nd, Thompson Twins, Tom Bailey, October the 5th, visit foxtucson.com. On behalf of my friend Ray Allen, who's been doing another great job with the show on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great evening for you ahead. See you tomorrow.